flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
And I wonder if people are getting impatient with the Texans hiring an OC. I don't think you should. You know, they're taking their time. They're interviewing all the candidates they want to talk to here. And they've got two interviews today. Nick Caley, passing game coordinator for the Rams. A McVay tree guy, but also a Patriots guy. If we're just going by number of years, he's more a Patriots guy than he is a Rams guy. Very well thought of. He's the favorite of Texan fans right now, according to a poll that Tyler Milner put up yesterday. Pretty sizable favorite. But Nick Caley and then Bill Lazor, who is a significant branch on the Seth Payne coaching tree. Which also includes Jeff Stoutland, the O-line coach of the Eagles as well.
Yeah, which is, I'm a little bit uncomfortable about that, like as far as leaning into it, because I got to try to be objective about this as possible. Yeah. So I just, like, from my personal experience, Bill is super, super smart. And he's had three different stints as an offensive coordinator, both for 2 years apiece. The way they listed on some of the articles, it leads people to believe that he was one and done. He got 1 year and done at all of those. Because they're looking at the years like their school years instead of the actual seasons. So he's had three different stints. All three of them were with coaches who would never end up being head coaches again. So they're kind of in the last 2 years of those coaches.
Right.
Matt Nagy, Joe Philbin, and Marvin Lewis, who ended up, you know, leaving / retiring.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, in the spirit of impartiality, because you do, you know Bill, one of the things we have said on this show with Bobby Slowick, with Bill O'Brien, is that the Texans never had a genuinely good offense under either of those guys.
Right, right.
So the numbers, for Bill Lazor, the numbers don't reflect well from that standpoint either.
The best year he had as an offensive coordinator was in 2014 with Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback. Mm-hmm. Joe Philbin was the head coach. They ended up 11th in scoring that year.
Yeah.
But beyond that, they've you know, his best years have been kind of 15th or 16th in scoring. So yeah, there's reasons that people wouldn't get excited about it. I also just know from knowing the situations that he was in and knowing him personally, there's more to it, but I get and understand why the resume looks, you know, like it's not something that excites people.
Sure, and I would say counterpoint to ourselves in defense of Bill Lazor, if we were making a case for him, is that he never had peak Deshaun Watson or C.J. Stroud as his quarterback at any of those places.
Right, yeah, I think that if you look at the various guys, whether, you know, it was Andy Dalton in the last couple years of Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati, You know, Andy Dalton's probably the best quarterback that he had a good chunk of time with.
Unquestionably as a coordinator, yeah.
Yeah, because other than that, it's Justin Fields, it's Nick Foles, it's a young Ryan Tannehill. So there's that element to it. I think the biggest thing with Bill is that in NFL circles, people that know Bill really respect his opinion and his intelligence and everything else like that. He's been consistently employed for going on a long time, a long, long time.
He's 52 years old.
Yeah. So there's a lot of experience there. And I think with both Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor, I don't like going to a quarterback and specifically asking him, hey, who do you think the offensive coordinator should be? But you're going to perhaps just through conversations about how the end of the year went, what did you like, what didn't you like, whatever information you can glean from C.J. Stroud specifically is probably going to be a big factor in evaluating Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor.
Yeah.
And they were both working with him 2 years ago when he had a very promising season, but then both Gerard and Bill were working with C.J. this year when he struggled. So, D'Amico and Nick have had a chance to watch that operation for 2 years and probably get a pretty good feel for what either of those guys brings to the table. I also think it's important for both Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor to point out, I don't think you can look at them and say, okay, well, I know what kind of a scheme he wants to run. It's not like these guys are products of spending years and years with Kyle Shanahan or anything like that.
So you don't think if either of those guys stay, there's a decent chance they may be running a different system next year is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, and Bill's been in multiple different areas and had to deal with, multiple different quarterbacks and the head coaches. When it's an offensive head coach like Matt Nagy, that's going to be a lot different than a lot of things that Kyle Shanahan was going to want to do. So, yeah, I think that that's probably part of the conversations, because people will ask, well, how come you have to interview a guy who's already been in-house for 2 years? It's because of that dynamic especially. Like, okay, what's your plan? What's your vision? How do you want to call plays? What do you see best for CJ? What do you think maybe, without selling out Bobby Slowick, what did Gerard and Bill think that maybe could have been done differently this
That's
year?
The first question you're asking. What would you, if, for an internal candidate, is what would you do differently? Because if you're doing the same thing, what you're doing is what got you there,
By and large.
So that's Bill Lazor. So he interviews today. So does Nick Caley, who has history with Nick Caserio. They intersected at the with the Patriots from 2015 through 2020. They were in the building together there. So Nick knows more than a little bit about Nick Caley. And you brought this up, Seth. Albert Breer mentioning that Nick Caley lost out on the Patriots OC job in 2022, 2023, whatever year they hired Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, he was up for the job that year.
Yeah. And they...
He's, 22.
He remained the tight ends coach. Yeah. So they didn't make him the offensive coordinator. And that's the biggest question people bring up is, all right, he'd been on the staff for 5 years there. Why did Belichick choose to make a defensive coordinator, a special teams coach, co-offensive coordinators instead of this guy, Nick Caley? But then two years later, after Nick Caley the next year goes to the Rams, when Gerard Mayo is looking to hire an offensive coordinator, Gerard Mayo, according to Albert Breer, offered Nick Caley $3 million per year, almost $3 million per year. And Caley turned it down to go back to the Rams in 2024. It was the 2024 season.
Yeah.
Last year, basically, McVay made him the passing game coordinator, and it looked very much like, all right, at least one team really wanted Nick Caley, and Nick Caley thought, well, I'm going to be more careful about which opportunity I take first for my first stint as an offensive coordinator.
We've talked about this probably two or three times now on the show today. The offer that Albert Breer talked about for $3 million for Gerard Mayo to bring Nick Caley, who'd never called plays before, never been an offensive coordinator before, to come in and be the OC for the Patriots this past season. And at first I was like, well, that's really interesting that he turned it down that much money. People need to understand $3 million puts you easily in the top like three or four offensive coordinators when it comes to pay.
Yeah.
Part of me, so at first my reaction was, wow, Nick Caley's being really choosy about where he goes, which I'm sure he is. Like, he looked at New England and said, is $3 million to murder my career possibly? Because Gerard Mayo did end up getting fired after a year. There would have been an element, now that I'm looking at this again, there would have been an element for me too if I were Nick Caley of like, does Gerard really know what he's doing up there that he's offering me $3 million a year? Not that you don't have confidence in yourself, but like, okay, I've never done this. He's having me come in here and do all these things and paying me more than everybody else. That might not last up there.
I also wonder too, who knows what the dynamic was with Nick Caley when he was with the Patriots and Belichick chose to go instead.
Yeah.
Instead of having Nick Caley be the offensive coordinator, he had Patricia and Joe Judge be the offensive coordinators. There's a little bit of an element of like, all right, what was he offered and did he want to stay in New England or not? Given that you could read the writing on the wall there that New England was in its dying last breaths there. Yeah. Tom Curran, Ben, if I didn't tell you to get this ready for this segment, Tom Curran from New England talked about this at the time. Curran's very plugged in up there about why it was hard to find an offensive coordinator that year that they used two non-offensive coordinators.
I think the larger issue here for the Patriots and their coaching staff and their personnel people, they have a very small staff on both. And the reason is, it's a hard place to work. Guys are not beating down the doors to come and work for the New England Patriots. It's actually the opposite. Guys are streaming out the door and have been in personnel and coaching for a number of years. Nick Caley would have gone if he had the opportunity. Josh McDaniels had to be kept here. The guys that they have now are guys who are, you know, out of chances where they were and came back in Patricia and Judge. So I think that's one thing that's really interesting about this. That's what's hard about what the Patriots are trying to execute. You would think, well, don't you want to work for the Patriots? Well, Bill Belichick's a hard guy to work for. You don't get titles. Nobody makes a lot of money. And the pressure is excessive. We hear over and over again about how difficult this place is to work. So it's not a wonder that there aren't a million coaches on this staff who are suitable and ready to go. And when they are, they're guys who, you know, are former lacrosse players or all went to John Carroll University. Or it's really an interesting and unscrutinized aspect of the coaching continuity. They don't have a lot of coaches.
Shot at John Carroll University right there.
Kidding,
where,
man.
Where both Nick Caserio and John Caley went, right?
Did
John
Nick Caley
went to John Carroll.
He went to John Carroll, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, if I'm trying to make a case for Nick Caley, but they didn't make him the – like, Belichick chose not to make Caley the offensive coordinator and instead went with a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator. Was Caley in a position to say, like, nah, Nick, I don't – or no, Bill, I don't want to be the offensive coordinator? Or was it that Bill was doing his old head games thing where I'm going to – this guy's going to basically do what he's told, and I'm going to keep my thumb on top of him. And, yeah, he'll have his input, but he's not going to be the offensive coordinator until he earns it. That, I have no idea.
Yeah, the latter sounds like the safer bet, especially, you know, kind of feeling how things – that was at a time – like, that was at a time, too, where Belichick could probably feel himself losing – his grip on the team a little bit,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, like,
yeah.
It was, like you said, those were the dying days of the dynasty right there.
Yeah.
But
other than that, I mean, there hasn't been, it's not like there's a huge buzz about Caley. Is there a huge buzz about any of the offensive coordinators that they've interviewed
no,
so far?
No, I don't think. I mean, Gerard probably has the biggest buzz because there's a lot of Aggies here. He's been in the building and everybody likes him, you know?
I think though, and I think with Gerard, the X factor is, all right, look, I've been one that's been stumping for, I want a guy, because you've got a young defensive-minded head coach, I want a guy who can be the head coach of the offense and who has experience. But I can't ignore the fact that there have been plenty of brilliant offensive coordinators who, yeah, at some point you get your first job.
Yeah.
Like, and usually, ideally, your first offensive coordinator or passing gate coordinator job is underneath an offensive-minded head coach,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of like your mentor and your tutor. But plenty of coordinators have done it before, so that's the unknown with Gerard, is that he's got very limited professional coaching experience. Is what he brings to the table, does he have such juice that you don't worry about the inexperienced side or the fact that your quarterback's in his third year?
Yeah, and I feel
and
like
that's something that really only the guys who are in the building could answer.
That's exactly right. We don't know. You know, we know what interviews with Gerard look like outside of the building, but the juice and the interaction and that dynamic you're talking about, stuff that we don't get to, only they get to see that. We don't get to see that. Got a question. This is a question that was sent into the mailbag on my podcast, the Utopia Football Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review if you can.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
If you guys had to guess, will the offensive coordinator hire end up being the most impactful move of the offseason for the Houston Texans?
That's a great question. I think so. I think that's... not to overly simplify it, but the answer is simply yes, because I think there's guys on the offense who underperformed relative to what how we've seen them play in the past. I saw guys who I know are intelligent players play like stupid players at times.
Yeah.
And all of that speaks to just a lack of a plan and a cohesive teaching of exactly what you want from week to week and throughout the year. It just looked disjointed and disheveled and messy. And a lot of that, it's not just the play calling specifically. It's the execution falls on the offensive coordinator as well. And that comes down to not just designing the game plan, but teaching and coaching the game plan and attention to detail and all of that. And we just saw very, very little of that. So, yeah, to get the most out of the guys that you have, yes. But then also to get the most out of what I'm expecting it to be a pretty heavily offensively focused offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to bring in a free agent on offense. You're probably going to draft pretty heavily on offense. I know best player available, et cetera, but there's a sliding scale for that. So, yeah, I think the offensive coordinator hire, especially with a defensive-minded head coach, is the biggest dynamic.
It would be hard to think of something that's more impactful than this. Like, as I try to go through in my head, it's hard to imagine the 25th overall pick being more impactful than whoever you're hiring to not just run the offense, but fix the offense. It'd be one thing, Seth, if it were a passing of the baton of a top five offense. You know, Bobby leaves to go get a head coaching job. If it were last year, he leaves and goes get a head coaching job and you're handing the baton to an offense that, you know, probably needs a few things tweaked, but it's trending in the right direction. Or if it were a highly functioning offense and you're bringing in somebody at that point, the only like major impact one way or the other would probably be downward more than upward, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but like the 25th overall pick, or is there like a Diggs move out there or a Danielle Hunter signing that's more impactful than the OC? We'll see, but I can't imagine it.
I think if you talk about how appetizing is this job, and will the Texans have the pick of the litter? I think that's probably where people are the most let down in terms of just feeling like, okay, there would be more buzz about this. Is that if you look at Bill Lazor's career, you know, his first time as a coordinator in the NFL was under Joe Philbin, who's an offensive-minded head coach. Yeah. So it's not really his show, but it's also like Joe Philbin, it's not like working for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other two stints that he had was also with Matt Nagy, who was the play caller, then wasn't the play caller, then was the play caller again. It kept vacillating, but he's an offensive-minded guy. So in those two instances, he was in a situation where his fate was probably going to be kind of tied to the offensive head coach.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful, and you got to be really careful in which situation you choose.
Totally.
Because all of a sudden, you get to it and you've had a couple of opportunities, and if you haven't had good quarterbacks and you haven't had a good coach above you, you start to lose some of that shine, and you start to lose some of that buzz.
It's a little like that cut that you found the other day that we played of Mike Tomlin, the new president of the Texans, talking about like who you go work for is important. You know, if you're trying to set your career on a certain trajectory, like make sure you're attaching yourself to the right people. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nobody's talking about the Joe Philbin tree. Nobody's talking about the Matt Nagy tree. They talk about the Sean McVay tree and the Kyle Shanahan tree and Andy Reid.
And it was, so with Nick Caley, you always got the sense in New England almost that part of Belichick's method was to beat you down psychologically. And maybe, you know, make you believe that, you know, you're not all that special anyway. So, and that he could keep people under his thumb for a long time that way. But so with Nick Caley, when he's there in New England, at some point, I'm guessing there's a reason that he specifically went to the Rams, you know, the first year he was out of New England, is I got to get underneath a guy that knows what the hell he's really doing offensively.
Yes.
And then is a career stepping stone, obviously. How many guys that have been offensive coordinators or passing game coordinators for McVay have gone on to get other opportunities? I think that's exactly what he did. I think he thought, including last year, he thought, well, I can go be the offensive coordinator in New England with a defensive-minded head coach and a draft, a quarterback to be named later, or I can spend another year under Sean McVay and get the benefit of, A, that education, but, B, also a little bit more of a glow from having been working with Sean McVay. So it was probably a smart career move to turn down that $3 million per year last year.
He took his career arc and his resume to the dry cleaners. And you know what I mean? Like he had the stench of the Belichick thing on him, and that's, you know, for some that's not great. So we'll see. Those two interviews are today, and we'll see if the Texans continue to add more candidates to this OC pool. But we'll have you all squared away here on Sports Radio 610. Also a reminder, we're on Radio Row next week. Thanks to Flight by Yingling. We really appreciate them helping send us there. Great partner for us here on this trip coming up to the big game. I get all the newsletters from TMZ and People Magazine and things like that to keep my toe in the pop culture water. And email I got from TMZ yesterday that they got hold of the video that was shot walking through OJ's house the day after he died.
Which OJ is that?
That would be
McDuffie?
OJ. No. That would be OJ Orenthal James Simpson.
Oh, the that OJ.
Yeah, that OJ. Okay. I probably should have specified which OJ. So they got hold of the video walking through his house after he passed away so they could take inventory of what's going to get sold off in the auction to pay everybody off that he owes money to. The video was fascinating going through OJ's house. In honor of the 9 years he spent in the hole for stealing back his memorabilia, the 9 most noteworthy things that I could make out in the video. We will tell you what those are, react, coming up next.